If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, as we continue in our series, Armor On, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and for the context, I'll read verses 13 through 17. Paul writes, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation." Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you as we go through these pieces of armor week after week that you are fitting us, Lord, for battle against all the attacks of the devil, and not only battle, but victory. And I pray you'd show us this morning how we need to put on that helmet of salvation to fight off all those attacks too. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last July the 22nd in Bengaluru, Brazil, 32-year-old Carlos Bente was trying to make a right-hand turn on a motorcycle when all of a sudden, right out of nowhere, this bus comes flying around the corner and this happened. So Carlos Bente crashed, flipped over his motorcycle, got thrown under the bus, and that bus ran right over top of his head. But notice, even though it took him a little bit to get back up on his feet, no serious head injuries whatsoever. And you know why? Because Carlos Bente was wearing a helmet. Helmets save lives, people. The Bible tells us Christians, we got no idea when the devil's going to come out of nowhere and throw us under the bus either. But the good news is, we've got a helmet that can save our lives too. And not only physically, but also spiritually. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Armor On. Looking how we can put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and start fighting and winning that war that the devil's declared on us. And today we look at the fifth piece of armor we need to put on. And that's the helmet of salvation. And to see that, we turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Up to this point in Ephesians chapter 6, the shield of faith has been the most important piece of armor so far. But our text today tells us about the most important piece of all, the helmet of salvation. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we need to put on that helmet to not only save us from the sin and the devil now, but to also save us from the tribulation that's coming right down the road. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, tells us three reasons why we need to put on that helmet of salvation against all the attacks of the devil. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why we need to put on that helmet is to save us. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 17. Now, because your head is the most important part of your body, and because your head and your brain controls everything about your body, the most important piece of armor the Roman soldiers had was their helmet, with iron plates even covering their cheeks and the back of their neck, sometimes even between their eyes, as much of the head as possible. And Roman soldiers never went into battle without it, because without the helmet, all the other pieces of armor were totally useless. And Christians, exactly the same with us, because without salvation, we wouldn't even have any spiritual armor at all. Now, salvation means you get saved from something, for something, by something. You come to Christ, you get saved from the penalty of sin and a forever in hell. You get saved for a life of blessing down here and joy unspeakable and full of glory up there. And you get saved by God's mercy in the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin, a price that we could not pay ourselves. Last Wednesday, Joe Biden announced that the federal government was going to be forgiving $10,000 in student loan debt for 43 million Americans who had student loans and a combined household income of less than $250,000 a year. $250,000 a year? Sue and I worked our butts off and paid off our college loans, making less than $25,000 a year. So does that mean we're going to get two $10,000 checks to reimburse what we paid in? Don't hold your breath. And let's be very clear. The federal government is not eliminating student debt. They're just transferring that debt to other people who didn't know it themselves. So much for my body, my choice. Because people got all kinds of worthless degrees in queer dance theory and they're not paying off. Now you and I have to pay for it. And it's not fair. But you know what? Exactly the same thing is true when it comes to us in our sin and God. Because God did not just eliminate the sin debt that we owe to Him. He transferred it to somebody else who didn't owe it Himself. And that's Jesus Christ. We owed a debt we couldn't pay on the cross. Jesus paid a debt that He didn't owe. And not just some of it, not just $10,000 worth, all of it. Because the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. You say, Kevin, that's not fair either. I know. That's why it's called grace. You're saved from something, for something, by something. By what? Simple faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. That word take here in verse 17 literally means to receive in the Greek. So all you Calvinists listening to this sermon right now, don't call me, don't write me. Man does play a part in salvation. There is something you have to do to be saved. You've got to repent and believe and receive it. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. So let me ask you this morning, have you done that? Do you have that helmet of salvation on your head? Because the world today couldn't care any less about salvation than a man on the moon. They have no idea there's anything to be saved from. Sin is everywhere today, and it's being glorified. Right now, a third grade teacher named Nick Cosme, Elmwood School, Naperville, Illinois, is teaching 8-year-old boys how to wear dresses and paint their toenails. And they'll probably make him teacher of the year. Parents, teach your boys to be men before the schools teach them to be women. Back in 1981, John Hinckley Jr. tried to kill President Ronald Reagan. And shot and paralyzed his press secretary. And shot a police officer and a Secret Service agent. But instead of keeping the guy in prison, last June the 15th, they gave him an unconditional release. So today, John Hinckley Jr. is a professional musician with his own record label, playing the packed out concerts all across the country. Folks, this is how you treat somebody who tried to kill the President of the United States? And the latest campaign ad from J.B. Pritzker, Darren Bailey is too extreme for Illinois. Excuse me, J.B. Pritzker made Illinois the baby murder capital of the country, slicing and dicing and sucking their brains out up to the very second they're born with no parental notification whatsoever for underage girls. He's teaching your kids to be Marxists and to hate America, teaching them to cut their junk off so they can be genderqueer unicorns. He doubled the state gas tax and wants to ban your guns. But it's Darren Bailey who's too extreme. People get the government that they deserve. People, listen to me. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the mind of Christ, you are suffering from spiritual insanity. The mind controlled by the flesh leads to death. You've got to get that helmet on your head. Listen to me. If you don't have the helmet of salvation on your head, if you're not saved, you're not safe. You've got to get that helmet on. Just like I did. The picture you see on the screen is me when I was 2 years old, 57 years ago. And I was a really cute kid. So what happened between then and now, I've got no idea. But the problem is, that little boy you see there was born a sinner. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 says, we were all by nature objects of the wrath of God, which means simply because of the fact that we were born sinners, we deserve nothing but hell. So that cute little 2-year-old boy standing by that birthday cake was already on his way to eternal separation from God. And I grew up in a family with a grandpa and some uncles who were alcoholics. And that pattern of addiction got passed down to me too. So unless something was going to happen, the devil already had a life of drinking and addiction laid out for me to follow too. But something did happen to me. Jesus Christ happened to me. Now the family I grew up in only went to church 1 or 2 times a month. And my dad didn't get saved till 18 months before he died. And my mom's dad was the alcoholic. And because of that, the only thing that my mom's mom could do for my mom and her 9 brothers and sisters, she made sure they got baptized as a baby, and she made them go to Sunday school, and she made them go through Lutheran confirmation. So my mom did that for me and my 2 older brothers. She got us baptized as babies. She made us go to Sunday school. She made us go through Lutheran confirmation. And the church I went to would give you a Sunday school pin. And every year you got perfect attendance in Sunday school, they would give you another bar to hang off the bottom of that pin. I had nursery, 2 years of kindergarten, 12 more years. I had 15 years of perfect attendance. My Sunday school pin was so long it scraped the top of my shoes when I walked. And I was always good at memorizing things. So I memorized Luther's entire small catechism in 1 week and recited it. I knew that catechism so well, I could have recited it backwards in German while standing on my head and juggling bowling balls with my feet. I knew all kinds of things about Jesus, but I didn't know Him personally. And if I'd have died back then, cute little Kevin Garner with the perfect attendance pin in Sunday school and the star of the confirmation class would have gone to hell, because my church never taught me one thing about being born again. But then 1984, the summer before my senior year in college, I was working all kinds of jobs, all kinds of hours. I'd be up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I started turning on Christian Channel 38, old Channel 38 out of Chicago. And at 2 in the morning, every morning, they ran Jimmy Swaggart crusades. July 21st, 1984, I don't care what else Jimmy Swaggart may have been doing at the time, and I don't care, because that night he preached the gospel. And the Holy Spirit gave me this sensation, this vision-like thing that I was falling, like in this bottomless pit, falling into hell. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, Kevin, it's now or it's never. I was 21 years old. And I realized for the first time in my life, being baptized as a baby wasn't going to save me, because being under the water don't mean you're under the blood. And all that perfect attendance Sunday school pins and all the stuff I learned in confirmation was not going to save me. Only Jesus could. So I did exactly what Jimmy Swaggart told me to do. I confessed my sins to God. I put my faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross as the only thing that could take my sins away. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. And I got saved. I got saved and washed and redeemed and justified and sanctified and delivered from that empty way of life that was being handed down to me by my fathers. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. I got saved. And people ask me to explain it. I'm like the man in John chapter 9. All I know is once I was blind and now I can see. I got saved. And you know what? You can get saved today too. There's people listening to this sermon right now. Maybe you've been in church your entire life. Maybe you've been in this church your entire life. But you have never trusted Christ for salvation. You've got to realize it's not about what you do. It's about the great thing that God did for us by putting His Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to pay the price for our sin and us receiving that by repentance and faith. I've never been a hat guy. The only hat you will ever see on top of my head is maybe a stocking cap in the wintertime if it gets too cold. But ever since July 21st, 1984, I've had this helmet on my head, the helmet of salvation. And you know what? Today, you go to Jesus Christ and you get saved, you can put on one of those helmets too. The first reason why we put on that helmet of salvation is so we can be saved. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why we need to put on that helmet. Not so that just so we can be saved by sin, but also so that we can be protected from the devil. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 17. Because every single sniper throughout the history of warfare was taught exactly the same thing. Aim for the head. Because 99.99% of the time, headshots are kill shots. Everybody remembers that famous scene from Saving Private Ryan. That soldier on the beach who takes his helmet off. See what happens to him?
Jesus! Come on. Lucky.
We won't show the brain splattered out. You got to keep your helmets on, folks. So let me ask you this morning, do you have your helmet on? Amen. And notice, I'm not asking you if you got your helmet in your closet. I'm asking you if you got your helmet on your head. Because there is a huge difference between just having it and actually wearing it. Because the devil's favorite target is us Christians. The unbelievers, he's already got. Christians, he's coming after you. And even though he can't possess you, even though he can't own you, he can sure enough harass you, demonize you, like the New Testament says. Last May, a couple that live in England, put up their $3 million house for sale outside of Seattle, Washington. But the problem is nobody wants to buy it because their house has squatters in it. Homeless people who broke in and who are now living in the basement. And they won't leave because they're claiming finders keepers, and the woke police in Seattle won't make them leave either. So even though they don't technically own it or possess it, they're still there. And Christians, exactly the same thing with us when it comes to the devil and demon spirits, because we can have squatters too. We can have demon spirits in our lives. And even though they may not possess us, even though they may not technically own us, or they're still there. Because they claim that you do belong to them, even though you don't. So they can't control us, but they can influence us. And how? By aiming straight at your head. And by messing with your mind. I've said it before, I will say it again. The number one place where we fight against the devil is not graveyards or seances or haunted houses with ghost hunters. It's right up here in our own minds. It's the battle for the mind. And why do we have to battle? Because Christians, we don't leave our helmets on. Amen. And because we forget the fact that we are saved. Which means 2,000 years ago already, Jesus already destroyed all the power that the devil has over us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. So there's one stinking cotton-picking thing that the devil can do to you if you don't let him. By taking your helmet off and letting him screw with your mind. So we've got a Christian here today, and he's going to put on his helmet of salvation. And we're going to see how well he can take the headshots that are coming from the devil. There's people sitting in this church right now, listening to this sermon. The devil is making your head explode by telling you that you're not saved. No. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. You have the Son, you have life, you are saved. But, the devil says, you didn't do enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't read the Bible enough. You didn't witness to enough people. No, what Jesus did for you on the cross was enough. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we have done, but simply by His mercy. See what happens? None of the headshots penetrate. They don't even, he doesn't even feel it. Maybe what the devil is shooting at you right now is condemnation. You got a horrible porn problem. You lost your virginity. You've had two divorces. You worked so much. You never spent one single time with your kids during a birthday party. And to this day, they hate you because of it. You treated your parents like dirt. And you made their life a living hell. And now they're both dead. And there's nothing you can do about it anymore. And you feel so bad about it. And the regret is so bad. And you feel so guilty. Sometimes when you're trying to go home from work, you just feel like turning the wheel a little bit and heading straight for a tree. And you know why? Because you've got a helmet, but you're wearing a hat instead. You've got a helmet of salvation, but instead you're wearing a hat of condemnation. Listen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You are saved. So the next time the devil tells you to look at your sin, you tell the devil to look at the blood. You're not going to hell. The devil is. And don't you dare pour condemnation on yourself. Don't you dare settle for a loser with a pass just because you got a pass and you think that's all you deserve. Listen to me. You are saved. Which means your past is totally gone. Because God remembers your sin no more. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. See this? The devil can take his best shot at you. You got that helmet of salvation. Nothing gets through. Nothing gets in. Maybe it's PTSD. When Stephanie Germanotta, Lady Gaga, was only 19 years old and starting out her career, she was repeatedly raped by one music producer after another who told her if she didn't put out, they would ban her songs forever. And to this day, 17 years later, she's still cutting herself because of it. There's people listening to this sermon right now. All the while you were growing up, your old man would get drunk and beat you like a baby seal. And all the trolls in school would make your life living hell every single day that you went, and you had that babysitter that sexually molested you over and over and over again for years, and you were too afraid to tell anybody about it. And the devil still tells you because of that, that means that you're ugly. And it means that you're worthless. Like that gunk that people scrape off the bottom of their shoe. But listen to me. You are saved. Which means you're not worthless, you are priceless. And you're not ugly, you are the apple of God's eye. And you're not damaged goods, you're a new creation in Christ. 2 years ago, a man on a scooter, Beijing, China. Look what happens to him. That truck weighed 14 tons. 28,000 pounds running over that man's head. No serious injuries whatsoever. And you know why? Because he had a helmet on. So Christians, listen to me. I don't care what's going on in your life right now. I don't care how the devil is attacking you. I don't care what kind of hell he is putting you through. I don't care how many times he's trying to crush you or run you over. That helmet of salvation is what protects you from the devil and saves your life and gets you through. Amen. The devil will break this before he can ever break this or ever break you. You put on your helmet of salvation and you keep it on. But the problem is, too many people today, they chuck that helmet of salvation. And they open themselves up to all kinds of demonic influence. All during the pandemic and the lockdown, gazillions of Americans turned to the occult. Actress Megan Fox now drinks her boyfriend's blood every single day. Rapper Machine Gun Kelly, because she says it gives her power. J-Lo has a grandma down in Miami, Florida, who does Hispanic witchcraft called Santeria. And every single day, Grandma does all kinds of magic spells and animal sacrifices because she say it helps J-Lo's career. Rapper Azalea Banks is into witchcraft, even sacrifices chickens in her apartment in New York City. And people go and gog over magic crystals. Singer Katy Perry carries rose quartz with her everywhere she goes because she says it gives her positive energy before TV appearances. Singer Adele uses tiger eye gemstones. The Olsen twins are constantly burning white sage. 2 out of 3 Americans today now claim that they believe in some kind of occult New Age claptrap. And what's even worse problem, half of all Christians in America today believe the same things. Christians, listen to me. Don't you dare ever take off your helmet for a nanosecond when it comes to anything occult. Because that word occult means secret, like secret knowledge that comes from spiritual beings besides the God of the Bible. And you avoid it like the plague. Because the only spiritual beings besides the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the devil and demon spirits. So the occult is an abomination to God. And anybody who does occult things is an abomination to God too. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 12. And I cannot tell you how many Christians over the years laughed at me and Sue for telling them not to read Harry Potter books and don't watch the Twilight movies. Because what do those series do? They just desensitize people to demonic things. And it's the people that grew up with Hogwarts and the vampires were the ones that turned to witch shock during the lockdown and the pandemic. And no scary movies like Friday the 13th or Halloween Part 73. Because what do those movies do? They glorify the dark side. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, you do not give the devil any kind of a foothold in your life. You know why I don't watch scary movies and horror movies? Because I see what the devil does to people in real life every single week. No, thank you. You don't read horoscopes. Because the signs of the zodiac don't come from the Bible. They come from Babylonian sorcerers 1,000 years before Christ. And your life is not determined by the position of the stars when you were born. Your life is determined by God who created the stars and made you the crown of His creation. And all the so-called magic crystals are just rocks created by God to be just rocks. So any so-called magic or any kind of magic power coming out of them isn't coming from God. It's coming from the devil. Tarot cards channel demon spirits. Reiki, that Japanese massage technique, opens you up to demonic influence. Remember that verse, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22? Do not be eager to have other people lay hands on you. Amen. That verse is there for a reason, folks. More reason than one. We don't have anything to do with the occult because so much of it is supposedly communicating with dead people. But the Bible says when people die, they either go to heaven or to hell. And there is a great chasm fixed. So it's absolutely impossible for those people to communicate with us. So there's no such thing as ghosts. What we think are ghosts are just demon spirits impersonating the dead people. That's why you have nothing to do with psychics and mediums. Right now, the hottest psychic in America is a man named Matt Fraser. And last month on the Kelly Clarkson show, he describes how he sees dead people.
It's crazy because when I look out into the audience, like, all I see and hear is dead people. Like, I feel like I'm connecting.
Oh my God, it's like the movie Sixth Sense, You're That Boy.
It is. Like, I feel like I'm connecting with, like, the funeral home because all of these souls that are here, you know, trying to speak and trying to connect. And first of all, your mom departed? Your mom's standing right next to you. Can I get up?
What?
Your mother's right here. The way that it works for me is that when I'm in a room or I'm in an area, all of your souls will try to come through and speak. And she was just standing next to you and saying, that's my daughter, that's my daughter. So know it's your mom's way of just acknowledging that you're here and letting you know that she is okay. This was a woman who had suffered before her passing here in the physical world. Because
yes.
What happens is, Kelly, is that they'll put me back in their body to show me what had gone on. And they'll stand next to her to show you that they're here. And she showed me she couldn't breathe before she had passed.
Yes.
She says,
put on a ventilator.
I feel like I'm drowning when I'm connected
what?
To her.
Yeah, she had a heart attack. I was in the emergency room. She was 62 years old.
Your mom says to me that, first of all, she wants to thank you for keeping a promise to her.
Notice, he didn't tell that woman her mother died. She told him her mother died. And when she said yes, he was off and running like a fortune teller at a county fair because he's a con artist. And every single thing he told that woman was so generic and vanilla, it could have applied to any mom in the whole wide world. But what he did was open up that woman to demonic influence. Because people, if God has something he wants to tell you, he sure ain't going to use a psychic to do it. And if psychics really can't predict the future, why don't they win the lottery every week? You say, well, Kevin, well, some psychics really do predict some things that actually do come true. Yeah, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. And you don't have anything to do with the Ouija boards. The Ouija board was invented back in 1890 by a guy named Isaac Gould. And according to his own patent, you know what Isaac Gould says moves the marker on the Ouija boards to spell out the messages? Demon spirits. So one of the strongest channels of demonic power in the whole wide world. And you can buy it right off the shelf in the toy section at Walmart. And people say, Kevin, the Ouija boards are harmless. We just do it for fun. Listen, the devil doesn't play for fun. The devil plays for keeps. 6 years ago, 53-year-old Carol Sue Elkabar from Minco, Oklahoma, was playing with an Ouija board with her daughter Tammy and Tammy's two daughters when the message came through that Tammy's husband Brian was evil and needed to be killed. And according to Tammy, this presence just came over Carol Sue, who had no history whatsoever of mental illness or drug or alcohol abuse. Carol Sue got up and stabbed Brian while he slept in bed and then turned the knife on Tammy and her girls. And when they fled in their car, Carol Sue Elkabar took off after them, ran them off the road, and then tried to push her granddaughters into oncoming traffic before police finally arrived and she was arrested. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, why do you inquire of the dead on behalf of the living, especially when the so-called dead are nothing but demon spirits? And young people don't have anything to do with witchcraft or Wicca or casting spells because you open up a world of evil. So evil, the Bible called for a death penalty for it in the Old Testament. I know real witches. And real witches tell me over and over again, Kevin, what we are doing is not evil. We're not worshiping the devil. This has absolutely nothing to do with the devil. Folks, there's only two spiritual forces in the universe. It's either the God or the devil. And if you're not worshiping God, process of elimination, who does that leave? And the devil doesn't care if you give him any props, just as long as you don't worship Jesus. And regardless of what The Wizard of Oz tells you, what a horrible movie for teaching spiritual truth. There's no such thing as a good witch or a white witch. There's no such thing as good magic or white magic that does good things. Because it all comes from the same evil place. You do not give the devil a foothold. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou become a cursed thing like it. But you shall utterly abhor it and utterly detest it, for it is a cursed thing. To love what God loves, you've got to hate what God hates. Christians, we do not have anything to do with the occult. And you know why? Because we are saved, which means we don't need any secret knowledge. Because we have Jesus Christ, who's all God's treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We've got the Word of God, which is everything we need for life and faith and godliness. And we have the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that the devil has that we want or need. The Lord is my shepherd, not the devil. And because of that, I am protected. And I lack absolutely nothing. The second reason why we put on that helmet of salvation is to be protected from the devil. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why we need to put on that helmet. Not just to save us from sin, not just to protect us from the devil, but third, to give us hope for the future. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 17. And I know somebody's hearing this sermon right now saying, but Kevin, why do we have to keep putting on salvation if we're already saved? It's because what this phrase is really talking about is the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Put on hope of salvation like a helmet. And there's three aspects to your salvation. Past, present, and future. You got saved in the past when you prayed to receive Christ. You are being saved now from sin and the devil. And you will be saved in the future when Jesus comes and takes us to glory. So your salvation isn't just for the here and now. It's also for the there and then. People, Jesus is coming. That's our hope. And folks, we need to hang on to that hope. Because right now, our world has absolutely no hope at all. NBC News poll last Monday showed this. 58% of Americans believe our country's best days are behind her. 61% of Americans are willing to take to the streets to protest. 74% of Americans think the country is headed in the wrong direction. And what's even scarier, 26% of Americans evidently think the country is headed in the right direction. Go figure. Americans have lost $15 trillion in investments and savings under Joe Biden. One out of five Americans now can't afford to pay their electric bill. 5 million illegals have crossed the southern border like the Oklahoma land rush under Joe Biden's watch, bringing enough fentanyl to kill 150,000 citizens just this year alone in 2022. How's that Build Back Better working out for you? No hope in Joe Biden or leftist government of all. And now what's even scarier, J.B. Pritzker is talking about running for president. You talk about useless and pointless and hopeless to the max. Last August the 15th, Los Angeles, California. That happened.
LAPD is trying to track down a mob of people who looted a 7-Eleven store. Take a look at this. This is just wild. Surveillance video showing this crowd grabbing anything and everything off the shelves. Snacks, drinks, cigarettes, even lotto tickets. At least one man was seen throwing merchandise at an employee. Police said the crowd first shut down the intersection outside.
Hundreds of people just descend on a 7-Eleven and totally ransack the place. And folks, if that looks like end of days, it's because it is. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot declared last June the 21st, the summer of love in Chicago. Since that time, there's been 1,153 shootings, 217 people murdered, just since June the 21st. So if any of you still had any hope left in humanity, you can forget about that too. The world has no hope. Potassium iodide is supposed to be something that protects you from the effects of radiation. And ever since Rootin' Tootin' Vladimir Putin's been threatening a nuclear war, you cannot find a bottle of potassium iodide on any shelf in any store anywhere in the country. But folks, the crazy thing is, the temperature at ground zero of a nuclear missile strike is equal to the temperature of the surface of the sun. So God help us, do they honestly think those stupid little pills are going to save them from that? Due to woke stupidity, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. There's no hope. But Christians, we do have hope. Because we are saved and Jesus is coming to take us out of here. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, God has not appointed us Christians unto wrath. So Jesus isn't coming to destroy us. He's coming to save us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, from the wrath to come that God is going to pour out on this earth during the great tribulation. And just like the United States Marine Corps, Jesus never leaves a man behind. Never. And there is no way in the world that He's going to leave you down here to go through this hell on earth during the great tribulation. One of the biggest proofs for a pre-tribulation rapture. So all you mid-trib and post-trib Christians listening to this sermon right now, you all want to stay down here and hang with the Antichrist, be my guest. I'm going home on the morning train. Amen. Hope. And what is that hope based on? The fact, the truth, the certainty, the assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. About 6 years ago, a woman from Worcestershire, England, had the winning ticket for a $47 million English lottery. But then she accidentally washed that ticket in a pair of blue jeans through the wash machine. And even though officials could make out the winning numbers, the date was so faded, she couldn't prove when she actually bought it. So she never got one penny of that money. But Christians, our ticket to heaven is the eternal blood of Jesus Christ. That will never wash away. And our fortune, our inheritance in heaven will never spoil or fade. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. So the only hope is up there. It is not down here. But tell the left that. Because they are absolutely hell-bent. Their only hope, their only reason for living is trying to save this planet from so-called man-made climate change. Even though the Max Planck Institute in Germany has proven over and over again that man is not doing it. Climate change is happening because of alternating cycles of the sun burning either warmer or cooler. And man is never going to destroy this planet because God has already put something in place to regulate the temperature. He's already put something in place to take care of the times when the sun burns warmer. It's called water. God created this planet 71% water cover. So every time the sun burns a little bit warmer than it used to do in the past, the water absorbs the heat. And get this, water also dissolves carbon dioxide. Problem solved. We learned that in freshman year chemistry. But see, the left denies it. And because they don't worship the God of the Bible, they worship Gaia, the Greek goddess of the earth. In England right now, in cathedrals, they're putting huge blow-up globes in the sanctuaries so Christians can worship Gaia too. Talk about worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. 2 years ago, Lutheran Church of Sweden declared that climate change activist Greta Thunberg was the modern reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Folks, you don't think this whole green energy thing is a religious cult? Romans chapter 8, verse 20 says, climate change is just a sign of the last days and the great tribulation when the entire world is going to be groaning in expectation of the second coming of Jesus Christ, when the Antichrist is going to rule over the world. So you know why the big push for electric vehicles today? Do you know why they want all of us to drive an electric vehicle? Because it doesn't have anything to do with saving the planet. Every single electric vehicle has a microchip that can cause that vehicle to be turned off remotely by somebody from the outside. So when you're trying to flee from the Antichrist and get off the grid, you ain't going to get very far. And get this, just this past Thursday, a Tesla owner in suburban Detroit, Michigan, named Bradley DeLaley, had his Tesla car key microchip implanted in the back of his right hand. Revelation 13, mark of the beast, right hand and forehead, say hello. Folks, this entire green energy boondoggle, this green energy claptrap is just setting everything up for the last days, great tribulation, and the coming of the Antichrist, just exactly like the Bible says. And because the devil is behind all of it, it's just getting worse and worse. For years now, all the New World Order people, from Dr. Fauci to Bill Gates to Klaus Schwab, from the World Economic Forum to the World Health Organization to the United Nations, have been preaching over and over again that the population of the world needs to be reduced to 500 million people. And I hate to tell you this, folks, but when you start looking at everything that's going on in the world right now, it seems like that's exactly what they're trying to do. Back in 2019, Dr. Fauci said this about the flu. The best vaccine against any respiratory virus is simple exposure to the virus. So your body builds up natural immunity to the virus. So we should not isolate ourselves, because the more exposure everybody gets to the virus, the better. But then when COVID comes along, he isolates everybody all over America and acts like natural immunity doesn't even exist, and bans therapeutics like ivermectin and budesonide, and pushes instead a vaccine that has caused all kinds of death and destruction to people. Because the spike protein in the vaccine is even worse than the spike protein in the virus itself. As of last Monday, VAERS report, 1,341,931 adverse events reported from the vaccine, 36,789 deaths, 170,151 hospitalizations, over 55,000 vaccinated people permanently disabled. Middle-aged people and young people all over the world are now dying from what's called sudden adult death syndrome from the effects of the vaccine. The UK is now reporting an extra 1,000 deaths per week because of lingering effects of the vaccine. And because there is no safety data, no one knows how many more deaths and serious illnesses will result from the effects of the spike protein in people's bodies in the months and the years to come. So why would Dr. Fauci push a vaccine that's going to do so much damage to people for years and years to come? And not only that, Bayer Pharmaceuticals, that makes some of the vaccine, is the exact same company that produced all the Zyklon B gas that the Nazis used to kill 6 million Jews in World War II. And Bayer Pharmaceuticals also owns a company called Monsanto that makes a weed killer called Roundup that has a chemical called glyphosate that's linked to cancer. And just this past June, researchers found that at least 80% of Americans have Roundup in their bloodstream. Folks, are they trying to kill us? Because you talk about culling the herd. One of the best ways to reduce the population of the world is to cut back on the food supply. And don't tell me that's not happening now either. Last year, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, said the Great Reset needs a war. Then Russia invades Ukraine, cutting off huge supplies of wheat and diesel fuel and fertilizer that come from that part of the world. And then the Biden administration declares war on fossil fuel, making it even harder for farmers to grow food and to transport it. And Joe Biden keeps throwing trillions of dollars down a rat hole, jacking up inflation to the point one out of every two Americans now say they cannot afford to fill up their car with gas. And one out of every five Americans claims they cannot afford anymore to buy what their family needs to eat at a grocery store. On top of that, dozens and dozens of food processing plants mysteriously torched all across the United States over the last 2 years. China is now buying up grain mills. China now owns the biggest pork processing plant in the United States and $2 billion worth of farm ground in the United States. The biggest private farm ground owner in America now is Bill Gates, who owns hundreds of thousands of acres of farm ground in 19 different states. And he's taken all of that farm ground out of production. And why? At a time when there's food shortages all over the world, all over Europe and all over Asia. Food for the Poor reports 700 million people in our world right now are starving to death. And Joe Biden says there's going to be a food shortage here in America by the end of this year. Folks, are they trying to take us out by starving us out? But don't worry, the New World Order says they've got something else for you to eat. And that's bugs. Oh yeah, like roach milk made out of cockroach protein. Yum, yum. And the next time you buy a bag of Doritos or Cheetos, you better check the label because if it says sustainable food source, you're eating cricket flour. And so what? Because even if it makes you chirp a little bit, it doesn't affect the taste. See, while we're eating rats and roaches, the globalist elites are going to be eating steak and lobster. And it's ridiculous because there's no reason on God's green earth for people to eat bugs. Or is there? Listen to what this doctor says.
There's certain things that are found in insects, such as chitin. Like I said, they can't be processed out. They cannot be cooked out. They are always there. So if you're eating little insect snacks or eating insectin burgers, you're eating chitin, folks, and you're going to make yourself very sick.
They don't want you to eat bugs in order to save the planet. They want us to eat bugs to take ourselves out. Folks, you don't think there's a new world order? And you don't think it's evil to the core? And I realize this sounds crazy. This sounds paranoid. But folks, that's exactly what they're telling us. You can find all this information on the very websites of those organizations themselves. It gets even worse. Because besides eating bugs, what else do they want us to eat? Human beings. Each other. Scientists all over the world now are telling us the best way to fight climate change is cannibalism. Now, God in His wisdom purposely made human flesh so it isn't very nutritious, doesn't have a lot of calories, and doesn't taste very good. So people wouldn't eat each other. And not only that, human flesh also contains prions, which are toxic proteins that contaminate healthy proteins and cause all kinds of diseases. And when the prions reach the brain, they cause death. And yet Yale professor Dr. Joseph Stepano says if you're going to eat human flesh, what's the best part you should eat first? The brains, he says. Folks, you don't think there's an agenda here? Remember the old sci-fi movie from 1971, Soylent Green, when everybody all over the world was eating Soylent Green and come to find out Soylent Green was human flesh? Do you remember what year that movie predicted that people would be eating other people on a mass scale? That would be 2022. Folks, you don't think the devil is behind this whole agenda? And here's the kicker. Dr. Yuval Harari with the World Economic Forum is now calling for transhumanism, to use digital IDs and biometric data to turn human beings, to hack human beings and turn them into half human, half technology, to create a super race of people to do what? To reduce the world's population to 500 million people. And what's the final thing necessary to convert a human being into a cyborg? Implanting microchips in their brains. Right now, Elon Musk's company, Neuralink, is manufacturing microchips that are being implanted in your brain. And where exactly in your brain is Neuralink planning on putting those microchips? That would be right smack dab behind the middle of your forehead. And he shall cause everyone, both small and great, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Mission complete. Folks, every single thing that's going on in the world right now, every single thing that they're trying to use to wipe us out is just a preview of exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days during the Great Tribulation, Revelation chapters 4 through 6. They're trying to destroy us. But Jesus wants to save us. And that's our hope. That soon and very soon, Jesus Christ is going to come and get us out of here before the real evil really starts. Christians, that's our hope. That's our blessed assurance. That's our blessed hope for the future. And we can't ever forget, what is that hope all based on? A cross on a hill called Calvary 2,000 years ago. Before the Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to that cross, they took a crown of thorns and they pressed it on top of his head. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing about his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was bruised for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We're saved, people. We are saved by the cross of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we know exactly who we are. We know exactly why we're here. We know exactly who the enemy is. We know exactly what's going on in this world. And we know exactly what's going to happen in the future. Jesus is coming. Amen. And until the Lord comes, what do? We put on that helmet of salvation. Keep your head in all situations. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But never forget. Keep looking up. Keep looking up because Jesus is coming and we are getting ready to leave this world.